The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Well, laughter really is the shortest point between two people. If you laugh with somebody, you connect with somebody.
Coming up, Dr. Charles Lowry encourages us to look at life's lessons with laughter.
There's a lot of toad in every Prince Charming, you know. There's a little bit of nag in every Cinderella. And so opposites attract from a distance, but opposites attack up close. I mean, the very
thing that you... Comic Belief, next on Life Today.
Thank all of you. You're kind, and we appreciate it, and welcome to Life Today. I'm James Robinson, and this is Betty, my wonderful, beautiful wife, and you look lovely, as you do. She always asks me before we go out, how do I look? And she just comes in and models for me, and I'm telling you, you got to know the right things to say to your wife when they come in and ask you those questions.
It's a test, isn't it?
Yeah, but always tell you the truth, and you look beautiful, and you do. Now, we have a guest who is a PhD. He's a philosopher. You know, he's got his doctor's degree, and yet he's got a book with a little kid with a rubber ball on her nose. And I mean, in this PhD, he goes to churches, and he believes in comic belief, not just relief, but belief, life lessons with laughter. Dr. Charles Lowry has a ministry that literally is committed to excellence in our lives. And I think in just the time that I've been with him and I've listened to what he has to say as he shares with huge groups, he knows what he's talking about. And I'm anxious to hear because, you know, if there's one place we need some laughter and some joy that's not put on, but it's the real deal, it's in our churches. Wouldn't you agree? Would you welcome Dr. Charles Lowry to Life Today? Charles, good to see you. I gotta just ask you, when you talk about comic belief, life lessons with laughter, why do you seem to think laughter is so important?
Well, laughter really is the shortest point between two people. If you laugh with somebody, you connect with somebody. And if you think about the things you remember are probably the things you laughed about. And the Bible's full of humor. I mean, Jesus, the religious people didn't think he was funny now, but everybody else did. I mean, when he talked about that log in your eye and the speck, I mean, they were rolling in the aisles probably because it was pretty funny in that day. And so he used humor. And, of course, I believe we can lighten up because God gets the last laugh. And so we cannot take life so seriously. We can take God seriously. And that's joy is probably the greatest evangelism tool of the church. Because everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to see joy. And unfortunately, they haven't seen a lot of joy with Christians. And the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so I tell people, most of us couldn't whip a sick rabbit because we've lost our joy. We get too serious, too spiritual, and people, you know, say, are you sick? And they say, no, I'm a Christian. You know, and I look a little miserable. And if you lighten up with emotionally, it comes from physically, everything's connected. And that's what I learned as being a psychologist, that it's all connected. You can't take this over here and this over here. And so that's my ministry, basically, is putting that in, using humor. But humor really also moistens the needle. You can tell people things with humor that they will take. Otherwise, they would get angry with you or upset with you. And so you use it as a connection. I tell people you got to connect with people before you convict people. Most church people want to convict people without connecting. And that just turns people off. They just get angry.
And laughter really can bring healing, can it?
It really can. Yeah, research says that if you can just laugh, that those endorphins in the body, that helps you get better. And so laughter's, a lot of doctors do it for medicine. Matter of fact, we got that idea from a medical doctor who goes in with on his nose, you know, to lighten you up a little bit. So that's what we do. But we're not a comedian, we're a communicator. We only use humor as a tool to enter into somebody's life so that they can get better physically and psychologically at the same time.
You know, I've been a good friend of Charles Stanley for a long time, and Charles said he was just talking to God, and he said, well, why do so many people not like to go to church? And God said, because they've been. And
right.
A lot of times when you go to church And you see people. Charles went on to say that he asked God, you know, about that even a little deeper. And God said, I don't go much myself.
That's right.
The reason is that where people are all bent out of shape and there's no joy, you know, it seems like there's an absence of the real presence and power of God. Do you see what I see when you look out at church people? I mean, sometimes it's scary.
It really is.
I preached in churches for 50 years and crusades looking at Christians, and people used to wonder why I was mad. Because they said, you're an angry preacher. I said, well, you just look at church folks all the time, you'll be mad too.
That's right, yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, I use the expression, born-again Christians are bigger pain the second time around, because they think they're right about everything, and their philosophy is, do you agree with me or are you wrong? You know? And so it's tough to be around them, and that's why Jesus hung around the sinners. I mean, let's be honest. You know, he had his choice and said, "I'm with you guys." That's what the church. If we are His church, if we are the church of Jesus, and the worst sinners around, they were comfortable around Jesus. What the Bible says, they were comfortable around Him. So how can we do that as a church? Let them feel comfortable around us. And it's the spirit really of acceptance. It's realizing we get to the point where really, after a while, we think we deserve to be here, that we're good and they're not. And that'll kill you every time. It'll kill you from the inside out. And you always got to get to the point of, I know why I'm here. But we're all defective. I mean, we've been all called by our Maker. And humor is not to degrade somebody. Humor is to point out that we're all defective. We all got the same problem. And really nobody does their best. I love to tell a story about two farmers sitting on the porch, and a dog goes by chasing a coyote, and the old farmer turns to the other one and says, your dog, he's running pretty good. And the old farmer said, he's not doing his best. And then about 10 minutes later, the dog's coming back the opposite direction, 10 coyotes now chasing the dog. And he says, now he's doing his best. The fact of the matter is, I don't do my best. Mm-hmm. You don't either. I mean, if we had an honest group here, which Christians, that's hard to do because we'd rather look good than tell the truth. You know, I know that's hard. But when I go to churches, I say, you know, raise your hand if you ever told God you'd do something and you didn't do it. Or raise your hand if you told God you wouldn't do something and you did it. And they all, you know, raise their hands. And
if they're honest, the hands are going up.
That's all of us. Mm-hmm. Even the Apostle Paul, I mean, not a teenager, the greatest Christian ever lived, said, these things I want to do, I don't do. And so we can rest, though, because God sent His best. See, Jesus lived that life we can't live. Mm-hmm. But the paradox, and it's why you can laugh, the paradox is when you give up on trying to live it, you know, then you're able to live it. You know, then you can relax because it doesn't depend on it. Just like we saw the Ryder Cup with the too much pressure, you can't handle it. Yeah. And that's the way it is with us. We too much pressure, we can't handle it. And it has nothing to do with your salvation. That life's been lived for you. And when you relax, that's that perfect love that you feel that casts out that fear. Then you can live by faith. You can really be that person God wants you to be.
It's really sad when the one who started it all, Jesus, who paid the price, who gave His life to give us life, who is alive to live in us. And He said, if you'll take My yoke upon you, it's light. My burden's easy.
Yeah.
And most people in churches, they look like they're heavy laden.
Why not? Yeah.
Because they're trying to carry the load that He's ready and anxious to carry if we'll just yoke up with Him.
That's right. Yeah.
And when you get yoked up with Him and the things that seem unbearable become lighter, life becomes brighter, and there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. You're not pretending anymore. You're not putting on a facade.
Yeah.
And I really think that when you put on the cloak of religion, you miss the cloak of His righteousness.
Right.
And I'm really sorry to say this, but I think a lot of churches are filled with people who have on religious garments. They're not only situations that make other people uncomfortable or even sick, they nauseate God.
Yeah.
He said, you say you're rich and increase with good and don't need anything, but you don't know, but you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, and you make me sick.
That's right,
And it's really too bad. This has to change. Now, you go to Prestonwood Church, which they've taken the Baptist.
And by the way, I'd like to preach a message one time called, Who Stole the Easy Yoke? Where'd that go?
Exactly.
Because and if you notice, that scripture says, coming to Me, you know, and we come to church, we come to other things, but Jesus, you learn of Me, and you'll find out this is easy. But anything, I use the word joy, J-O-Y, Jesus, any other thing in you, any other thing that gets between you and Jesus, whether it's church or
whatever.
Because a lot of people are addicted to church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just come to church to feel good, you know, to sing and God loves me, but they don't change their life and they go out and have a miserable life. And then they want to go back to church, feel good again. And so those people want to go to church all the time because they don't know how to live, but they love church. And so they, you know, that's why we end up having church all the time, you know, because they don't know how to live life. They just want to be in church. They get addicted to church. And their real life is a mess, and they have no credibility in the world because the world looks at them and said, I really don't think I want to be like you, you see.
Well, I want to ask you a question. Yeah. What are you going to learn going through this book? I mean, are we going to hear a lot of jokes? Are we going to hear a lot of counsel?
We're going to hook you, and we're going to teach you some psychological and spiritual principles, but you're going to have fun reading it.
It's descending a skunk right here.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what that's about, descending a skunk? I've been around some Christians. It's pretty
there's a lot of stinking
place,
people
you know?
Out there, and yeah. You got to get along with them because they're everywhere. I mean, God's still making them. You just got to get along with them. And so it's a life lesson. It's for men, and women love it because women love women read anything. But to get a man to read a book, I mean, you got to be good. You know what I mean? I mean, you got to get them at one-liners. You got to hook them a little bit.
Right.
And so we try to hook them a little bit. I call it, well, you're from Texas. I call it a Longhorn book.
Yeah.
A point on each end, a lot of bull in the middle. But it gets the point. We do have a point. And it's really like I preach. It's a lot of funny stuff. Have a good time, learn a few things, and then end on Jesus. And if you look, that's what Jesus really, he just went out in the marketplace, you know, talked about real life, real situations, and then in the end said, this is the way to live. This works.
Yes.
And the great thing is the Christian life does work. It's a great life.
Well, it really does work. And I think, I want to say to those of you who watch Life Today, thanks for watching. Thanks for staying with us. One of the things we hear, Doctor, is that this doesn't seem to be typical religious programming.
Right.
It seems like it's real life. It seems like that Betty and I really are, you know, like each other.
Yeah.
Not just because she's cute and she's a smile. Look at this. Get it closer. How do you not fall in love with a smile like that?
Yeah.
I mean, she got me more than 50 years ago.
Well,
and she still got
me. The question America, though, asks is, how did you get her?
That's what everybody wants to know.
In the South, we say,
how big is God?
Your coverage.
God. But see, people who watch our program, they say, we don't feel like it's stiff, old, dull religion. We feel like that there's a lot of love and that you really care about us, that you wish you could help us, and that you love to help people, and you've shown us that it's fun to help people, just to share life and enjoy life. But a lot of people don't have meaningful relationships. Here, we're going to be together 50 years. Marriages are, it's tough.
It's tough.
What do you say to couples?
It's a tough time. And by the way, your show, I've watched your show for years, and you really come with people rather than come at people. And when you come at people, they start to put up the barriers. But you come with them. You're honest, and you say, this is the way life is. And it's not always good, but God's good. And, you know, this is how we get through it. Marriage today is under attack. There's so many difficult issues today in relationships. And one thing I think that we don't see, relationships are not secular, they're spiritual. And that's why we call it holy matrimony. It's an act of worship. And we look for people to meet our needs that they can't meet. Jesus met a lady. She had been married 5 times. I mean, she's giving her the whack. I mean, 5 times. You know, surely there's a good man out there, you know? 5 times. And now she's living with a guy, okay? And Jesus says, it ain't going to happen. You're not going to meet a man, find a man who can love you unconditionally all the time and give you total forgiveness. You're not going to do it. You're going to feel thirsty. You're going to feel dissatisfied and think there's something else, there's something more. And then because of our Adam suit that we got from the Adams family, as a rule, man's a fool. When he's hot, he wants it cool. When he's cool, he wants it hot, always wanting what's not. As a rule, man's a fool. I mean, you know that, don't you? So we're always thinking if we can get this other thing, we'd be happy. And he said, no, that's, another man's not going to make you happy. You're going to be right back in the same shape. What you need is living water. You need unconditional love, total forgiveness all the time. And I'm the only one that can do that. You know, a husband, he'll be a pretty good husband, but he'll let you down. You know, he can't be your God. And so when you start to understand that you start to focus on God's faithfulness, instead of the faults of your mate, and you start to focus on God's promises, you know, rather than the performance of a mate, it frees you up to love that person the way God wants you to love that person. And matter of fact, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, talking to men, it says, men, don't even bother to pray, you know, unless you make your wife a partner and start to understand her a little bit. That's where the power in your life comes from. And once you start to understand that part of the relationship, and just to be realistic, I mean, our world is so, you know, I wish I could slap Walt Disney, you know, because, I mean, you know, it's fine Cinderella and, you know, just wonderful. She's going to pick up the britches for the rest of your life, or you know, you find the Prince Charming and, you know, he's going to buy you shoes for the rest of your life. But they don't tell us that, you know, there's a lot of toad in every Prince Charming. You know, there's a little bit of nag in every Cinderella. And so opposites attract from a distance, but opposites attack up close. I mean, the very thing that you know, you found this perfect person, they look good, they smell good, they never go to the bathroom, and you get married, and then you find out they don't always look good, don't always smell good, spend their life in the bathroom, you got a real person, you know? And so you got trouble right there. And
yeah,
so
that's right.
So we try to teach people, you got to work at it.
I love what I'm hearing. If viewers say, we're desperate, how would they get a hold of it? What website?
Yeah, just go to charleslowry.com. It's pretty easy. And it's Lowery. And I'm not the singer, Mark. I don't know Mary, Did You Know? And so I don't, I'm not Mark. So it's Lowery. And it'll have where we speak in and that kind of thing.
And you would come and you try to cover the bases in a day. You actually take the crowd that seemingly sometimes really needs a resurrection.
Right.
Yeah. And then you'll spend the day with them and try to help.
And they need
through.
To be hooked. In other words, we have a message that we hook them. You come back at 4:30. I'm going to teach you this. Matter of fact, one of our hooks is we'll have a miracle at 4:30. It's never been done, but it's right up there with the Red Sea. If you bring your man back at 4:30, I'm going to teach men how to listen. And I say, you know, that's a miracle. I do it every Sunday. You know, if you bring him back, I'll teach him. And then I tell the men, if you'll come back, I'll do another miracle. I'm going to actually teach women how to appreciate men. And I said, you know, that's a miracle too. And so we have to hook them to get them to come
that's
back.
Great.
You got to motivate people to come
it.
Back because they're used to church. Most of them are bored out of their mind in church, and they're thinking, I'm coming back again, you know, and I'm doing it. And so you have to hook them, get the enthusiasm, motivation, because most people, they really want to have great relationships. I mean, most people know the greatest pleasure in their life will come from relationships, and the greatest pain in their life will come from relationships.
That's right.
So they want to get better at it. And we teach the same principles like the Hewlett Packard, to lots of companies we've got to talk to. Same principles because they're God's principles.
That's
and
right.
They work. And so if you start to understand how to communicate and how to meet people's needs, great things happen in your whole life.
I like you.
Hey,
you like Dr. Lowry. You like what he says. There he is. There on the screen is the website. And you can go to lifetoday.org, get more information. But write it down, go to his website, and here is Comic Belief. It's in the bookstores, or I'm sure you could order it on his website. And I think it'd be great if you get him to come to have a little resurrection party and a little relationship building conference in your church. Pray about that and encourage others you know. So you know something? I know someone can help you and pass that information on. You know, Charles, your brother, as a matter of fact, helped us years ago drill a whole bunch of wells by getting the children in his church over in Bossier City.
He
to
really
do it.
Did.
First
he
Baptist
did.
Bossier
he
City.
He got really excited about
that.
He could
it
see.
It is wonderful.
It's absolutely amazing. A lot of people want to do good things. They just don't know what to do. You know.
That's right.
And we get some specific thing. This you can go do this.
Well, we're asking our viewers to help us feed hungry children. And you've let us know that that's one of the greatest joys in your life. I want you to listen to one of our supporters and what he has to say as a businessman about why he loves to share life. Listen to Steve.
He's the owner of a highly successful tortilla business. But nearly a decade ago, Steve Martinez helped feed people in very different and desperate circumstances.
Well, I worked for Life Outreach. I worked with them for 7 years, was on the mission field, feeding children. So I got to see where the money was going, how much of an impact it was making.
While Steve and his wife, Sarah, have always supported mission feeding, over time, much of their attention shifted to raising two young boys. until they recently saw a little boy named Lazarus on a Life Today program.
He's 5 years old, and he was laying there in bed on his deathbed. He was skin and bones. And Janice, the photographer for Life Outreach, snapped some pictures of him. And on the camera, there's a viewfinder. And the little boy asked, can I see the picture? And so she turned the camera to him to show him, and he just looked at it. And we just lost it, because how many times have our kids, my little five-year-old boy Maverick, has asked me, Daddy, can I see the picture? Can I see it? And so my wife and I really felt like the Lord showed us a part of his heart for these children. And he led me to a scripture in Ezekiel that talks about Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord says of Sodom and Gomorrah, their sin was being overfed and unconcerned, and they did not remember the poor or the needy.
As Steve's thriving factory continues to churn out thousands of tortillas each day, he is directing even more of his profits to food factories half a world away.
These kids don't need a cure, they just need food. My wife and I support Life Outreach because we have seen the need firsthand, and we know how effective Life Outreach has been in meeting that need.
I want to just say thank you, Steve, you and Sarah. But I wish I could call all of you who are watching and all of you who've ever helped by name and say thank you. And I would like to be able to say thank you to those of you who've never helped, but you're about to. I want you to look at little Lazarus again. I want you to look at his little body. And as you look at that precious little boy, we all prayed what Lazarus needs is a resurrection. Not from the dead, but from the death he's facing. And Betty, I mean, it was quite a miracle when Jesus raised Lazarus. I don't think we have to have as great a miracle, but we have to have a great one. It's called the miracle of love. A love for a little life that, through whatever circumstances, brought him to that place. And there's thousands of kids right now, not all of them quite at that place. We try to hit it off before they get there. But our mission feeding programs have saved now over 10 million lives that we know of. And we've led that many people to the Lord in the areas where we've been feeding. It's really remarkable. Because when you show people love, then they want to hear the story of love, God's love. So what we need our viewers to do, Betty, right now is to go to the phone and do what Steve and Sarah do, and that's make the best gift you can. But I've got good news. We just had an offer of a food grant of $3.8 million. If we can come up, in addition to the hundreds of thousands of kids that we're trying to raise money to feed right now and keep the missionaries there, and it takes $30, $50, or $100 to feed 3, 5, or 10 children for the next several months. But we can get this $3.8 million food grant, which just assists everything we're doing, if we can come up with another $640,000 to guarantee the delivery of it. And that means we're going to have some more transport, we're going to have some more workers in place. And we've got to let them know soon, because you see, if they put it out, they got to know it's got to be delivered. I'm glad. That's the way governments or any nation ought to be when they say, okay, this is a nation that we're going to do something for the poor, and we believe your people, your workers will deliver it. Well, that's where you come in. What you give right now, in the last days of this mission feeding emphasis, it'll be multiplied 6 times. That means a $1,000 gift immediately, $6,000 in its effect. $100, $600. $50, $300. Would you dial the number and take your bank card and use it like a check? That's how you should always use it. But would you do it right now? I mean, if you have to run to get it and come back, get the number written down, call it, and say, here it is, the best gift I can. Lord, I pray you'll direct each person in what they're to give and give them joy doing it. In Jesus' name, would you do it? Would you love Lazarus and others like him and keep others from getting there and give them a chance at life so we can tell them about the greatest source of love and life in demonstration? In deed, not just in word. You can go online, lifetoday.org, make your gift, You make a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us you're mailing it. We have some special gifts for you to bless you, and they will. Thank you for blessing others. Thank you so much for going to the phone.
At this very moment, children are drawing what could be their last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Today, you can help stop the cycle of death. You can help save a life. Life's Mission feeding teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of 400,000 suffering children in remote areas of Africa. And now we have a miracle opportunity. A $3.8 million food grant has been offered to us for our mission and relief efforts. All we have to do is guarantee we can deliver the food at a cost of $640,000. This means your gift today can now have six times the impact. $30 to help feed three children can have a $180 impact. $50 for five children can have a $300 impact. And $100 to help feed 10 children can have a $600 impact for feeding. With your gift, you can receive James Robison's newest book, God of All Creation. Through his personal observations of animals and wildlife, James shares heartwarming stories and spiritual lessons of God's love and grace. With your gift of $125 to help feed 10 children, you may request the new Jesus Calling Devotional Bible, featuring 260 scripture insights from the author of the Jesus Calling Devotional, Sarah Young. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help save the lives of 100 children, which today can have a $6,000 impact. And you may also request the Lion and the Lamb bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Well, Betty and I do remind you this is really the last days for you to help us in this emphasis. You know, we come a couple of times a year, but this is the end of this emphasis. We need to hear from you. I want to send you a book it's going to bless you. You're going to want to get copies for your friends and family for the holidays. And then I want to also remind you about Dr. Charles Lowry's book. Now, this is Comic Belief, but I'm going to tell you something. This is dynamite, too. And I highly recommend the book. Thank you for helping us. Would you say thanks to Dr. Lowry for being with us and being a blessing to us? Thank you, buddy.
Bless you. Appreciate the opportunity.
There's his website again if you want to get this doctor to come put a smile on your face and mend some broken hearts and relationships. I believe he can do it. Thank you so much for watching.
After surviving an abusive childhood, Victor Marks became one of the top martial artists in the country. Stay tuned for the world's fastest gun disarm tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.